As an announcement, we do appreciate everybody being here. Hope you open your Bible study along with us. And I just want to make a comment too, as far as talking to Donnie before services, and he said that his mother's better, that she was released out of ICU, at least put into a room. But she still has some health issues going on, and so keep her in your prayers also. And also, I would just mention that Regina has to go to Bowling Green this afternoon, and somehow she will probably manage to go down there and see Thomas and Noah and John if they happen to be around. So she's going to get to do that this afternoon, but she won't be here tonight. So just kind of let you know where she's, why she's not going to be here. We've been studying about the last week of life of Jesus. And I'll explain the song here that we sang a few minutes ago as we go through this lesson. But you stop thinking about it, man's ability to inflict punishment on his fellow man can be quite amazing. That we think about the gladiators of the Romans in that first century, the things they were doing, they would feed people the lions and the wild beasts, and they would have these in the Colosseum. And they would have families show up to see people being torn apart and to see people lose their lives. And wonder, how is that possible? And just think about also the fact of the death camps that we had in maybe World War II. And think about people today that are blowing up their fellow men. And sometimes wonder, how could people be so cruel to one another? There was an account that caught my attention a few years ago. It happened in Memphis. That really just, to me, almost kind of took the pale. It just was amazing to me it could even happen. The two-year-old boy was taken and killed. And basically, it's more for sport. But what really stood out was not just a two-year-old boy being killed, but he was killed by two 10-year-old boys. And stop thinking about it again. How could people be so cruel to each other? I'm reminded of a case that those of my age remember, some of you younger ones don't. But it dealt with a police brutality lawsuit out of Los Angeles. A man by the name of Rodney King had been taken by police, and that this was in a time period when video recording was just kind of catching on. It just started having where people could actually have cameras and start recording things on a more regular basis. And they had to arrest this guy or pulled him over, and the recording was of police officers around Rodney King and beating him. And a lawsuit was brought against them, or at least they were charged with police brutality. And the defense of Rodney King was asked how in the world they could deal with that. I mean, you have a recording of the beating itself. And the response was that they decided, they realized the prosecution would use that recording every opportunity they had. And so they decided that every day that the jury came in, that they had trial, every day they was going to make a point of having that video replayed for the jury. And that was seen to be almost, you know, or just contradictory what you would think, that they would not want that played to the jury. But they wanted it played every day. And the explanation was that after a while, it lost its shock value. After a while, the jury just kind of looked at it and did not have the same response to it they had the first few times they saw it. And that's man's ability to see something, to read something, to experience something. After a while, we become desensitized to the events that occurred. And I said all that because when we think about what happened to Jesus, when we read about the trial of Jesus, the death of Jesus, it's easy sometimes to kind of forget exactly what was going on. And we want to do this morning, specifically looking at that crown of thorns and the lesson we learn from that. But as we read in our passage, I read for us a few minutes ago, in Matthew 27 chapter, and this is one event that morning that says, verse 27, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered a whole garrison around him. And they stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. As you think about what's going on here, we see that, first of all, we have a crown of thorns talking about. And this is not used in a metaphorical sense or in a symbolic way, that this was a literal crown of thorns that they made. It said they twisted those thorns together. And most of us are aware of thorn bushes around here. I don't know how many times as a child growing up or even working on the farm, that you go out there, and if you're not careful, you get yourself in the middle of a bunch of thorn bushes. Now, you know, those things hurt. When I was mowing the yard this last summer, we had a thorn bush that would sometimes kind of creep out to the yard, and I would have to cut it back occasionally. But every now and then, it would get far enough out there, and I'd forget about it. And I'm riding along there, and that thing would grab a hold of you. And the thing about thorn bushes is that they hurt, and they cause bleeding. And I have to say that I used to like going out picking blackberries. But the problem is that you don't pay for them with your blood. That you just want to get stuck with those things. And so we may think about the thorn bushes back that we have around us, but these things that they put on his head, that they were of a whole different animal. They think about the thorn bushes they had back then, over that part of the world, they're more like this thing right here. And that is a reed of, or a crown of thorns, if you would. And if you look at this here, you realize that these things are pretty long. This one here is well over about an inch and a half, 2 inches long right there. And you have some of these that can be about 3 inches long. And not only that, but also if you actually touch the tip of this thing, you realize those things are pretty sharp. And if you look at the just thing about putting this thing here on somebody's head, you know, your head area, your cranial region is an area that really doesn't have a whole lot to protect the inside, except you have your skin, you have your skull, you have the bone. And then you have some blood vessels up there, but you don't have a whole lot of fat or a whole lot of tissue between the two. And so if you put this on your head, that's an area that's prone to a lot of bleeding. And you can imagine as they put that on his head what would happen. And that is there'll be bleeding and blood start coming down and into the eyes of the person. And so we have here this going on, and again, Jesus is surrounded by this garrison of Romans, and they're making fun of him. And as you look at it, it said they put this crown of thorns on his head. I think we need to think about that for a minute, because we understand that Jesus was crucified between two criminals. We often point that out, one on the right hand, one on the left hand side of him. And you understand that he was crucified between two criminals, although he's the one that was innocent. The others were guilty. But here was an innocent man about ready to be crucified or being crucified, one who never knew sin. And as they did that there, you realize that, you know what, I don't read about anybody else wearing a crown of thorns. They didn't put on either one of the other criminals' heads. In fact, if you go back and start reading that, crucifixion, while the Romans did not practice it on their own citizens, but they reserved this for those who are non-citizens as a way of teaching those people a lesson. It was such a horrific death, but they wanted this thing to be done in public. And we, as we read about his death, we understand there were crowds of people around witnessing him being crucified. And the reason they did that is they wanted the people to realize, here's how gruesome, here's how bad you can be treated, here's how painful we can make death for you if you cross us. Every now and then you may go someplace and they would tell you, turn off your cell phones. And you think about that and realize that every now and then the cell phone goes off and we kind of would turn it off. But what would happen if every time you would say you go to a government building and you have a cell phone on, and it rained that they took you out and shot you? I know that doesn't happen today, but what would you think if just simply go in a courthouse and sell for a rings and well, the punishment of that is automatic death. You're going to be shot to death. You know, I dare say that we would all put our cell phones in the car. We wouldn't take them inside because it would be too risky. Well, what they were doing here, they were making a case that if you transgress our laws, we'll make it so that you will die the most worst, powerful death possible. And that was what was happening to Jesus. But I just notice here that the reed of the crown of thorns was not placed on anybody else's head except Jesus' head. And think again about what did he do? I mean, after all, what was actually Jesus' crime here? I'm not talking about the make-believe, phony charges actually brought to Pilate or the Jews as they had under trial. And as they came up with a reason to crucify him that was, you know, simply a lie. Or I'm not even talking about Pilate, when they took Pilate, you know, Jesus before Pilate, and they say, well, this man is guilty of sedition. This guy's trying to teach us to have a revolt against Rome. That was a made up charge. But what did Jesus actually do that caused him to be crucified? Over in Acts, the second chapter, verse 22, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said, as men of Israel hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man tested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as yourselves, to yourselves also know. You see, what Jesus' crime was, that he said he was the Son of God, and he actually taught as one has authority, and he had the miracles and the signs and wonders to back it up. That he could actually prove that he was sent by God by those things. That's why he said, a man tested by God to you, and as these things prove that he was who he said he was, that's why he was being crucified. If Jesus simply had been a half-baked person making claims that couldn't prove, they would not have had a problem with him. They would have left him alone, let him disgrace himself. But because he's actually teaching the truth, this was something that they could not stand. And so they did that. They put a crown of thorns in him. But then also in our path we find, they didn't just put a crown of thorns in him. Again, that'd be bad enough. And as I look this here, I have actually hidden this earlier, before I put it out underneath the pulpit earlier this morning. And you know, part of the problem I had to even bring this in here is that sometimes people, young children especially, may decide, I want to touch that. And I want to wear that, or I want to see if this thing actually hurts, and then they get hurt themselves. But you stop thinking about this thing, it really will hurt. And they put that crown of thorns on him, and then they said that they started to mock him. They bowed down to him, they put a scarlet robe on him, which was a sign of a royalty, if you would. Didn't mean a bit of it, but they were simply making fun of him. And then they bowed down to him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And that was really the charge that Pilate had put on the cross, wasn't it? But Jesus, and just kind of look how ridiculous this is. Here's your king, bleeding and totally helpless against us. And as they did that, they made fun of him so as to hurt even more. And it says to us that they mocked him. The devil used mockery. And sometimes to try to get people. I mean, think about the temptation of Jesus. And read about that in Matthew 4 chapter. That Satan asked Jesus, or said, if you are the Son of God, then do this. You know, Satan knew exactly who Jesus was. He knew he was the Son of God. Why did he phrase it that way? Just trying to make fun of him. He's trying to mock him. He's trying to get him to do something he shouldn't do. Sometimes mockery and making fun of is something that can hurt us, and actually something that can motivate us to do the wrong thing. Sometimes children, young people, will try to make fun of a classmate, make fun of somebody else, that then intimidate them, to get them where they won't do something, or will do something, whichever case may be. As we look at this here, we're thinking about Christians. Sometimes Christians are mocked. Today, they mock us such as, you believe in a God? I mean, you really believe that there's a great eternal being out there that made everything, and not only that, but you think he made it in 6 days? I mean, you really believe that? Or maybe the idea, you really believe the Bible is an inspired book and not simply a book of fables and make-believe? And you mean tell me that you've been an intelligent person that has a degree or maybe have a certain expertise in certain fields, but you don't actually believe that is an inspired word of a God? Or maybe they say, you believe in the standard morality taught in the Bible? You think it's wrong for people to be involved in certain activities today that's widely accepted? And you know, that sounds so bigoted, and you really believe that? And you just think about things that are said about Christians that you actually think there's a judgment when this life's over? That you're going to exist on the other side of the grave and you'll be judged for what you've done. There's a heaven and a hell. You really believe all that stuff? Why are they saying that? Because they're trying to make fun. They're trying to discourage us from believing those things, intimidate us. Well, fine, here the soldiers doing that with Jesus. They were mocking him, making fun of him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. But then also you think about this, you think about the pain that Jesus had endured, because not only did they take this crown of thorns here and put it on his head, but it said they actually then go ahead and they struck it. In verse 30, in Matthew 27 chapter, they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. Now keep in mind, they're not going to take their hands and hit it against this thing, because again, that would hurt them. But what they're going to do is they're going to take some kind of wood pole or something else, and they're going to take that whatever whip or a rod or whatever they had in their hands, and they're going to hit him in the head with that, with that crown of thorns on his head. And every time they did that, that crown of thorns is going to make a long gash in their head. More bleeding is going to occur. More pain is going to occur there. And so they're going to go deeper and deeper into Jesus' skull, into that bone. And so you just think about all that's going on here. And again, you think about how could they do such a thing? How could they be so cruel so as to do that? But then sometimes you think about how can people today read about the death of Jesus and not be affected by it. You know, the movie, The Passion of Christ, that came out in 2003. And it was a movie that people had gone to see and it was able to do something that most movies before that time period had not, because of the ability of our computer system, the ability of makeup artists that they have now, that they could take the crucifixion of Christ and they could make it look real on the screen. And I don't know if you ever went and saw that movie or not, but if you go back, if you have ever seen that movie, it's one where when they show the beating that Jesus took, the stripes on his back and how that would all be done, how they crucified, and you see the blood gushing out of him, and there are people walked out of there, and some people said, you know, they had no idea it was that bad. Really? Really, you didn't realize how bad that was, how much he suffered on the cross? So you don't understand how, again, much blood to be lost just with the crown of thorns. And just realize, you think about how could they have done such a thing? Well, how could people not believe? And how could people not be moved by this? And as they put the crown of thorns to Jesus' head, and we think about who did that? Who's responsible for that? And there's a number of answers we come up with. One is, literally, the Roman soldiers put the crown of thorns on his head. They're the ones that took the thorns and twisted it to a crown there. And so they put it on his head there, and he realized that this was, again, was an innocent man, Pilate him to Jesus over to the soldiers to do what they wanted, and Pilate would eventually say, hey, go ahead, crucify him, but you know why I'm not responsible? Well, yeah, he is. Yeah, he was. But the blood of Jesus was on his hands as much as anybody else. If he consented, he actually gave him over to be crucified. He's the one that could have stopped it all.